Good morning, Symphony Church, and welcome to today's morning devotionals. Today's passage is from 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. Now there happened to be there a worthless man whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, and we have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So all the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah followed their king steadfastly from the Jordan to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem. And the king took the 10 concubines whom he had left to care for the house and put them in a house under guard and provided for them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as if in widowhood. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call the men of Judah together to me within 3 days and be here yourself." So Amasa went to summon Judah, but he delayed beyond the set time that had been appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, lest he get himself to fortified cities and escape from us." And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. They went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the gray stone that is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was wearing a soldier's garment, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath, fastened on his thigh. And as he went forward, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not observe the sword that was in Joab's hand. So Joab struck him with it in the stomach and spilled his entrails to the ground without striking a second blow. And he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's young men took his stand by Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." And Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the highway, and anyone who came by, seeing him, stopped. And when the man saw that all the people stopped, he carried Amasa out of the highway into the field and threw a garment over him. When he was taken out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. So to give some context, in the chapters leading up to this passage, Absalom, the son of King David, is killed during his rebellion. And afterward, King David's enemies come in repentance before him, asking for forgiveness. So now, right after the rebellion of Absalom, comes another rebellion by a man named Sheba. And he goes around saying, "We have no portion in David, and we have no inheritance in the son of Jesse, and every man to his tents, O Israel." So Sheba is challenging the authority of David. He points out his humble beginnings. He was a son of Jesse, who is only a farmer. And he calls Israel to turn away. And how do the men of Israel respond? Well, verse 2 tells us that all the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. There's a lot to unpack in this passage, but verses 1 to 2 really stuck out to me the most, so that's what I'll be focusing on today. This new rebellion from Sheba, and the responses by both the men of Israel and the men of Judah. So for more context, literally right before this chapter, at the very end of chapter 19, Israel and Judah are arguing over who is more loyal to the king. And just as a refresher, Israel says to David, "Why have our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king and his household over the Jordan and all David's men with him?" To which Judah responds, "Because the king is our close relative. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift? And Israel responds, "We have 10 shares in the king, and in David also we have more than you. Why then did you despise us? Were we not the first to speak of bringing back our king?" So yeah, right after the men of Israel say they have shares in the king, they want to honor him, they desert him to follow in Sheba's rebellion. And these wavering, unfaithful hearts of the men of Israel remind me of Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. As he was entering Jerusalem, the crowds were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And they put their cloaks and they cut branches from trees and put them in front of him, welcoming him into Jerusalem. And only just a few days later, they call for his crucifixion. So the men of Israel and the crowds before Jesus, they honor King David, they honor Jesus, and then soon after, they waver, they're unfaithful, and they rebel. So when I was in middle school, just a short story, I would always lie to my dad about practicing piano and violin. I'd get home from school around 2 or 3, but my dad would usually only get home around 5. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later. But I would tell him I practiced both piano and violin during those hours between 2 to 5. But actually, I was probably just playing games or something. And my brothers did this too. Sometimes they would join in, and we'd have to kind of coordinate who practiced what and when, because we only had one piano. But one day, I forget how, either the math and the timing didn't really add up, or I didn't realize my mom was home, but my dad caught me lying to him about practicing, and he got pretty upset about me lying. So I had to apologize. I was pretty apologetic. I was saying sorry for the next few days. I was trying to behave well, tried to be good, to get back on his good side. But soon after, I got tired of practicing piano again and violin, so I went straight back to lying about it. And yeah, this story kind of just reminds me of how fickle my heart can be. Just soon after apologizing to my dad, I can just so easily sin and run away again from God and from my dad. Just like the men of Israel and the crowds before Jesus. But how did the men of Judah respond? Well, they followed their king steadfastly from Jordan to Jerusalem. And they were faithful to King David, and they remained loyal to him. And I think the men of Judah's loyalty to David is a great example of how we should be loyal to Jesus. Through rebellion and through conflict, they remained loyal. So how can we remain loyal? How can we stay strong in the Lord amidst temptation? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Amen. So let's just take some time to reflect on this passage. In what ways might your heart be fickle? How might you be turning away from God soon after repenting? What sins do you often go back to? What idols do you continue to chase after? Let's bring those before God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for this morning and for your word and for your truth, and just this time of prayer that we get to spend with you. God, I pray that we would be loyal to you as the men of Judah were loyal to King David. I pray that when we are tempted and when our flesh is fickle, that we would put on the armor of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with both prayer and supplication. Amen.